say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I am the greatest.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Say hello to my little friend.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
Welcome to Mental Distortion.
Welcome back for another one, Mental Distortion, episode 17. Today, as I was returning from walking my son to school, I found myself digging through years of misplaced data. While dodging petite snowflakes gently drifting through the chilled air, I looked down at my 10-week-old dog, Irish, and thought, man, you were a douche last night. Cute and furry, no doubt, yet still a complete puppy-biting douchebag, as he did his best to leap off a curb that must look like a 10-foot drop to him at this point. My mental bell started to ring inside my dust-filled mind. I thought to myself, I should do an episode about being a douche. Hell, it would basically write itself. I may even have to plug in my phone to finish writing this episode. I imagine I could make mine longer than any current recycled script making its way through Hollywood. The base of my recipe was just found. Now I needed to come up with a title for this sweet home-cooked meal. Another look down at this fluffball strutting its bushy leaf-covered tail, it hit me like a bolt of lightning striking a man walking through a darkened desert storm wearing nothing but precious metals. The title shall be, Who Let the Douche Out? Yes, that will work. I won't bore whoever is listening with an encyclopedia of stories. However, just like Britney Spears, I'm going to hit you one more time. Let's take it back to the 80s. Guessing late 80s, I think the Bay Bridge series was 89. Let's use that for you detailed obsessed freaks out there. This point in my life, I was living with my father. My father who was living with his mother who was living as a widow. My ill-tempered father worked long hours and enjoyed getting his whistle wet. I have brief memories of my parents fighting with each other. Truth be told, it's the only memories I have of my parents together. Maybe that's my fault for the years of binge drinking or dabbling in life's festivities. My dad needed to find something to do with me during the day while he worked. Somehow I ended up at a private Christian school. My hair was redder than Satan himself, and I wasn't exactly a choir boy. I wasn't evil, I just didn't care about other people's thought, actions, or emotions. This school was something else. I remember we had church all the fucking time. In between the brainwashing cult sessions, we were allowed to learn chapters of Bible verses. Not only did parents get to pay sweet tuitions every month, but they could sleep well at night knowing that their money was well spent on something a child could be doing at home with a $3 Bible and some toilet water blessed by Uncle Nino. This place was great. These kids were fucking nerds, prime picking for a child like myself. The staff had their minds tuned up to something special. They followed their marching orders and they did it with a smile. When I first started, man, I looked like a hero riding in through the sunrise with my stallion galloping through the dusty doorway. My grades were impeccable. Memorizing chapters of written word was fucking cake for anyone who didn't spend their days covering their tables with puddles of drool. Other than the Bible chapters, each student was assigned workbooks. You could go at your own pace. If you were a dedicated student, you could level up quickly. I was leveling up quickly, not Earnhardt fast, more like Bolt fast. Teachers loved me. These drone kids enjoyed my company at first. My first chip in the armor was from an incident with a kid named William. He was African American, a decent kid, he was cool. We sat next to each other. He was super heavy, like barricade a door from the SWAT team heavy. One morning we were playing pencil fight, snap the pencil and you are the winner. After a few were broken, he bitched out and wanted to do schoolwork instead of using our time wisely playing pencils. Later that morning, he left the room to use the restroom. When he returned, he waddled back to his folding metal chair that somehow didn't buckle from the year of abuse it had received so far. When he sat down, he jumped higher than Willie did over the wall of rocks when that fuckhead teenager freed the whale. A massive scream and then floods of water rushed from his face. He was obviously very uncomfortable and in extreme pain. Upon further investigation, the powers that be concluded that he had sat on a tack that had been taped to his chair with the needle facing upwards. Upon even further inspection, they came to the conclusion that his friendly State Farm neighbor, the new kid, had been the one who perfectly placed the clear pushpin into position. After the storm cleared, I had managed to talk my way out of extreme punishment. I apologized and did some Hail Marys in the rain while wearing socks on my hands, or something to that nature. As more days passed, my tack torture episode was forgotten, and William continued to play pencils with me for some reason. Smooth sailing and clear skies were on the horizon. Well, until Strike 2 showed its pearly whites. One night my dad was in a glorious mood. He felt the need to dig through my school notebook. Like he gave a shit about my grades. I can't recall a single study session with him. Not a book, not a story. He was always just there, kind of like a shadow. Every great once in a while, I was lucky enough to get caught on the dark side of his moon. This evening happened to be one of them. Upon flipping through the pages, he found the words, "fuck you," scribbled on a page. Nothing else. Just a single page that said, "fuck you." He wasn't exactly a patient man. Some days I see him and myself more than I would like. Needless to say, he didn't bother asking me any questions before he beat the snot out of me. He could supply a real ass-whooping when he fell off his rocker. He always wore a genuine leather belt with an enormous buckle. I don't think he could spell bull, much less hold his own with any other cowboy competitions. He wasn't roping geese. He wasn't bucking bales of hay. Yet, this is what he enjoyed prancing around town in, wearing big boots, shiny buckles, and oversized hats. After he was tired from lashing me Singapore style with his belt, he caught his breath and decided to let me speak. I too needed time to catch my wind. When he would go to town, it was similar to having the wind removed from your body. Air was to be had, but in very minimal and hysteric burst. Knowing I had inked the phrase out of pure boredom, I was at a fork in the road. Tell him the truth, he would surely beat the fuck out of me again. Probably taken another step and ground me from riding my piece of shit Veriflex skateboard. When we went board shopping, I had pointed out every board with decent bearings that could actually roll and keep up with my cousin. My cousin always had proper gear. Fate would have it, my dad supplied me with a piece of wood that rolled about as well as Stephen Hawking's wood when his battery's dead. So I went with option number two, talk my way out of it. I've always been able to talk. I've never had an issue with lying to your face. More so if I feel offended or simply do not respect you for whatever the reason. So I simply told him. It must have been another student. I had noticed my book was missing at one point in that day. For a man who was simply unmotivated for everything in life, for some reason this mystery needed to be solved. The following Monday, he accompanied me to school and raised hell with the dean, or principal, or master priest, whatever the fuck his title was. A couple days had passed. The school's brass came to my classroom one morning with blank pieces of paper for each student in the classroom. They had manufactured a sentence for the entire class to write down. These men could barely dress themselves. One had zero luck hiding his love for George Michael. Yet somehow they were going to solve this crime with in-house forensics. What a joke this was. I knew I was in the clear. I just didn't know how this would play out. Surely it was over. I was the main suspect and they didn't even test my handwriting. The following week, my father and I were invited to the office. These smug idiots apologized to us, and then another student entered the room with his parents. The kid's name was Antonio. He was in my class, I never really interacted with him. We would talk, that was it. Neither of us had emotions for each other one way or another. This was the first time in my life when I truly noticed the grid glitching in the Matrix. This sackless piece of shit Antonio walked towards me, extended his hand, and apologized to me for writing the words in my notebook. Mentally, I was shattered. The real and the fake blurred my vision. But we were still working here, and the show must go on. I accepted his apology, and I knew I would never trust this spineless kid again. This event was just enough to bring me back under the wings of angels and protect my ass from more swinging leather. Two birds, one stone. These were just a couple of examples from a small window in my life of me letting the douche out. These days, I don't go out of my way to let the douchery rain. Don't get me wrong. Once I don't respect you, the forecast may call for rain. Thanks for joining me, Mental Distortion.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I am the greatest.
Nobody puts baby.